and welcome to another edition of Two Steps Ahead podcast, encouraging you to take your passion, make it happen, let yourself be great. I'm Son Edom. And once again, we sit at the crossroads of social media and the government. Should we ban TikTok or not? Depending on who you ask, I'm sure a majority of the public would say no. But I've got a couple different perspectives. One from the entertainment media personality perspective, and then one from the educator perspective, because I've spent much of my career in both sides, the media entertainment and then also education. And so there's a couple different perspectives that you can take on this. And again, when it comes to some of these things, there isn't always a one-size-fits-all answer. So sometimes we have to go beyond and kind of look and see what might be the situation. So, TikTok, when you watch it, what's your field like? What's your, you know, for you page or your whatever they call it nowadays? What's your threads looking like? What's your feed presenting to you? What I see is completely different now than what it was even just a couple years ago. To me, what I'm seeing on there is getting worse on a daily basis. What I see on there is what I would consider material that would be destroying values, morals, ethics. You're starting to see a lot of different types of videos that are exploitive to people, whether they think it is or not. You're starting to see the promotion more so of a selfish, narcissistic society that only cares about itself. I mean, think about this. Once they announced that they were going to take up a bill to ban TikTok, everybody flooded Capitol Hill with messages, some to the point that it was threatening the lives of people. However, nobody cares about the fentanyl crisis that's killing kids and young people. I mean, anybody, but if you're talking about young people, nobody's talking about the invasion at the border that is doing harm. Immigrants, illegal immigrants coming in and killing people and committing violent crimes, Lake and Riley and others. But yet when it comes to a social media platform, everyone panics and wigs out. Now, part of it is because there's people on there making a lot of money and so of course they're going to lose their income. But again, that would be a business side of it. And so I understand that. But when it comes to protecting kids, now, part of the reason why they're doing this is because of China. TikTok is owned by ByteDance, a Chinese company, and people feel that China, the Communist Party of China, is having access to data and national security issues and things like that, which is important. But again, if you're going to go after TikTok for those national security issues, why not protect the southern border? If you're giving money over to the Ukraine, why not protect the south border? Anyways, so you have these videos that are being pushed out there that are basically becoming less and less creative and more destructive. They're pushing ideologies that are harmful to young people. It's also dangerous as people undergo life-threatening and irreversible trends that you see. And we'll go over some of those trends in a moment. Talk about stealing time, robbing creativity. Because a lot of times you're just repeating trends. And sure, some of those trends are pretty good, like the LSU smooth criminal dance. That's pretty impressive, and people wanted to do that, and that's good. But then there's other trends, it's just like, what? Why are we even wasting our time? And again, that's the creative side of me versus the non-creative side. And then, of course, there's a lot of peer pressure in there, which leads to the trends, which leads to buying things. Remember when the Stanley Tumbler thing came out and everybody had to have one? I was teaching middle school a couple weeks ago and like six girls walked in with a big tumbler. It's almost bigger than them. Stanley on it. Guess size does matter. So again, if TikTok goes away, the question would be, would society be better? If you do away with TikTok, you should do away with Twitter as well, because that is a toxic platform that just spreads lies. The bill is called Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act. Basically, social media platforms. They should probably consider changing it to Protecting Americans from People and Entities That Are Controlled by Foreign Adversaries. I mean, think about the Chinese influence in the Democratic Party. Eric Swalwell, a sitting member of Congress, actually had a sexual relationship with a Chinese spy named Fang Fang. In fact, that came up in some of these hearings on a couple occasions. He's still trying to deny it, but it's true. Or what about Dianne Feinstein? Her chauffeur, longtime chauffeur, turned out to be a Chinese spy. Or the fact that Governor Newsom hosted the president, President Xi of China in San Francisco. And of course, the long-standing and long-running influence on the Biden family from the Chinese Communist Party. And there's others. I mean, the NBA as well. NBA is in bed with China. So there's a lot of things. You also have Zelensky in the Ukraine trying to get politicians to send him more money, maybe giving them some kickbacks. Or what about the number of politicians that are paid to enact laws and policies that uphold globalist policies such as the World Economic Forum or the European Union? You ever wonder where banning gas stoves came from? World Economic Forum. Ever wonder how some of these policies are taking shape in other countries? Just look at the Netherlands, now maybe France, some other places. Are you interested in eating mealworms and fake meat from a laboratory? What about just the lies from the pandemic? We're starting to see now more and more evidence, which some of us already knew, that it came from the lab, that Fauci's a liar. Vaccines were dangerous. Masks didn't work. Social distancing was made up. Constitution was destroyed, stepped all over. Liberties were lost. Government entities abused their power. People still believe it. And if it happens again, people continue to believe it and follow blindly. So again, when you're talking about protecting Americans from foreign adversaries, maybe we should go beyond TikTok and get into other areas as well. But we'll stick with TikTok for now. So TikTok has been used on a number of occasions that have proved to be costly to people, whether it's false information, whether it's deadly trends, whatever it is. And again, the entertainment side of me says that it's good to push out your product, your business, etc., or your creativity. But then on the flip side, it's a negative thing. I don't know if you remember this, but there was a viral TikTok video from North Carolina one time a few years back, had 13 million views. And what they put on the video was, women beware of a sex trafficking ploy. A car seat is being left in the parking lot. In this particular case in North Carolina, a car seat was left in the parking lot of a Walmart. Some lady saw this, put a video out there and said, this is a ploy to sex traffic and kidnap women. Well, as it turned out, and again, 13 million viewers saw this. As it turned out, what happened, a couple went into Walmart, bought some stuff, including a new car seat, took out the old car seat, set it down, apparently just left it, and took off. So the car seat was not involved in any criminal activity. However, the rumor started to spread, and 13 million people put this out there, or saw this, and 13 million people started thinking that this is a sex trafficking ploy, even though it really didn't make any sense. How about Wayfair? Remember the Wayfair hoax back in 2020 when social media users were spreading the fact that this pizza joint was, there was a pizza joint I'm going to talk about in a minute, but that Wayfair was overcharging for things, maybe, you know, big storage crates and stuff to the tune of $10,000. And this was them buying kids and the kids were being put in these things and being sex trafficked. And it turned out to be not true. Or the Pizzagate, someone on Twitter put out there that the Democratic Party was involved in a pedophilia ring because they were searching through Anthony Weiner's emails and came across some other emails from John Podesta, and WikiLeaks published them all, and it was a human trafficking ring out of a pizza joint in Washington, D.C. It was also a meeting ground for satanic ritual abuse, and it pretty much turned out to be just a hoax. Not true. But because of social media and its spread, I think somebody actually then ended up going out there and shooting somebody at the pizza joint. So again, there are responsibilities that need to be undertaken when you're dealing with social media. And again, how do we control that? I think one of the most dangerous things that have come up again when we're dealing with kids, adults do this too, but when we're dealing with kids, are the TikTok trends. There have been so many trends out there that have taken the lives of young people because they just can't reason themselves into the consequences of their actions. One of the, I think, more egregious ones is what they call the teeth filing trend or the teeth filing challenge. Have you heard of this one?
In June of 2020, a TikToker by the name of Mia Dio made a TikTok where she took a nail file and filed her teeth shorter to make her teeth look more even. After the video became popular, it eventually became a trend called the teeth filing challenge, where teens would hop on the trend bandwagon and try to make their teeth look as perfect as possible with a nail file. But because teens are naive and stupid, they filed their teeth so much to the point where it looks like they are trying to win a Jaws lookalike contest. Now, on top of their teeth looking absolutely grotesque, now they have to deal with increased risks of oral defects like tooth decay and not having the ability to eat or drink anything cold again. Now, after seeing the aftermath of this garbage trend, Dio was interviewed by the Washington Post, where she stated that she made the video because she was just documenting a crazy idea that she had at 4 in the morning. She also tried justifying it by saying that because some people cut their hair, then some people can become their own dentist too.
So here you have some gal just at 4 in the morning coming up with some crazy idea that she wanted to do, put it out there on TikTok, social media, and what happens? Everybody starts doing it. And now you've got a bunch of kids with a lot of dental damage that's going to affect them for the rest of their lives. And if you search it up or go to our video version of our podcast, there's pictures there that you'll be able to see of what it looks like. And it's pretty bad. And it's these some gal at 4 in the morning concocted this idea. And kids didn't have the ability to look at it and say, that's a bad idea. I better not do that. Remember the Tide Pod Challenge? People eating Tide Pods? I mean, wouldn't you think that's common sense enough not to do it? But yet people do it. And they did it. Or the ice and salt challenge. This has been around for a long time, but it resurfaced or repopularized on social media. You put salt on your arm, and then you put an ice cube on it. See how long you can hold it. But then what happens is it burns the skin. People getting frostbite and worse. All for challenges. Back in 2020-ish, around the start of COVID, there was a video of a lady, young gal, I guess, an influencer, that licked the toilet seat of an airplane. So then that set off a trend, the COVID trend, coronavirus challenge, where people would start licking doorknobs and other things to see if they would get COVID, and of course they all did. That's just common sense stuff like that. I mean, the first thing you're told when you go to the doctor if you want to avoid cold and flu season is don't touch something and then touch your face. In fact, cold and flu season, you're not supposed to touch anything above your neck with your hands. Use a Kleenex, a tissue, something else to touch your face. And here these people are going around actually licking stuff, trying to get sick. And at the point, we had no idea what this COVID was about. Or the cinnamon challenge. Eat a mouthful of cinnamon powder. What would happen? People would suffocate because they would inhale. And all the powder would get into their throat and lungs, and they'd suffocate. There was another one that was called Throw It in the Air Challenge. People would stand around in like a football huddle, and you'd throw something in the air, and if it hit you, which was going to be on the head or the shoulders, then you'd be out. And of course, the challenge got pushed to the extreme. Heavier objects got thrown up, and people were starting to get concussions and brain damage because they're getting hit on the head. Or the skull breaker challenge, as they called it. Somebody jumped in the air. Someone that was maybe unaware what was going on, the challenge, would jump in the air and get their legs kicked out from under them, and they'd fall down and hit the ground. Again, breaking their skull, fracturing their skull. Maybe you remember some of these. Maybe you participated in some of these. Or what about the Benadryl challenge? Did you hear of this one?
The Benadryl challenge is just as bad as it sounds. It started at around mid-2020 and peaked in popularity later that year. The general premise behind it is to take an ungodly amount of Benadryl pills in order to get a temporary trip. For those who don't know, Benadryl is a medicine that's used to treat colds and allergies. And if you take far too many, then you can get drug poisoned and possibly overdose. This trend, like the previous ones, has taken so many lives of young teens, including ones who are as young as 13 years old. Just like the Tide Pod Challenge, this trend was being reported by pretty much every single news outlet known to man as the deaths kept rising. The scary thing of it all is that the most recent death of the Benadryl Challenge is from April 2023. So even though the trend has reached its peak, two teens, who won't be named by the way, still thought it was a good idea to try the challenge. The reason why is unclear. Maybe they wanted to get high or try to be cool for the entertainment of low attention span people online. God only knows.
Remember back in the day when it was the anti-drug, you know, just say no, Nancy Reagan, or this is your brain on drugs, any questions, or any number of other anti-drug campaigns, maybe the DARE program. And so the whole effort was to keep kids off of drugs. But yet now we've got things like the Benadryl challenge, Tide Pods, other poisons that are making its way to social media, and these young kids don't have the ability to reason themselves into why they shouldn't be doing this. And it's pretty sad. And you're dealing with permanent damage in some of these cases, like the teeth filing. In order to fix that, it's going to be costly. Probably lose all your teeth at some point. Eye salt, you burn yourself to the point that you need medical care. A lot of people dying from these challenges. And these aren't the only ones. There's plenty of others out there. Just go look it up if you really want to know. And so more and more people are dealing with the ramifications of these challenges. So, yeah, if you're talking about banning TikTok because of national security and things like that, that might be one thing. But what about just dealing with this type of thing, the damage that it's causing young people? That's another reason to think about it. And if parents aren't going to step up, if adults aren't going to step up, then perhaps maybe there needs to be an intervention. And we know when the government gets involved, it's never a good thing, but maybe in this case it might be. So are you addicted to social media? Because not only do you have the dangerous trends that are going on, but you have things like addiction, screen time addiction, social media addiction, an addiction that takes you away from doing what maybe you're supposed to be doing and putting all your time on the screen. And it could be not just scrolling, it could be trying to create these videos. And what about the exploitation of these videos? I talked about it before. There was a bunch of videos going around where their baby was crying, and so they throw a slice of cheese on their face to shock them into not crying. Or what about the egg cracking on your toddler's head that went around? Just exploiting your child for likes, views, and to go viral. So maybe we should do away with it. But again, social media, are you addicted? If you think you're addicted or not, you can ask yourself these simple questions. And maybe they're not so simple, because maybe you're in a state of denial. So the first thing you do in the morning is you wake up and you check your social media. Do you do that? And then maybe you stay in bed too long scrolling, so now you're late to work or at least rushing out the door. Do you check your social media at work all the time? Or how many times during your work day do you check social media? Are you anxious? Do you get the jitters when you can't check your social media? Are you constantly checking how your posts perform? And you spend a lot of time overthinking and planning your posts. Now, depending on how you answer those questions, you may or may not be addicted to social media. Now, the bottom two, or the last two, are you constantly checking how your post performs? Again, the entertainment side of me, you're pushing out your stuff. You might have a strategic plan as to when you post things, the type of things you post. And so, yeah, you check to see maybe, you know, after an hour of posting, what's the engagement 30 minutes after posting, and you're trying to measure. Maybe you post it at night and then in the morning and you want to see the engagement. So if it's a part of a business model, okay, maybe it's not an addiction, but if you're sitting there just scrolling, then maybe it is. If you're obsessed and you have minimal likes and you're obsessed, then maybe. If you're overthinking and planning, again, strategic planning is all a part of social media, especially if you got your business, your creativity, stuff like that. But if you're just out there putting just random stuff that I've seen, or you're just throwing out random thoughts, or if you're just sitting in the car griping and complaining about something for sympathy, then maybe that's an addiction. An addiction not only to being on social media, but to the attention. And so, again, that's something to think about. What's the purpose behind what you're doing? Again, there's not a one-size-fits-all thing, but you have to ask yourself purpose, intent. Are you purposely creating something and intentionally posting and observing and getting the information to try to help improve? Or are you just randomly putting stuff out there for the sake of putting stuff out there? There'll be times I post certain things, like what I've done over the last year is post sports video clips on some social media. And now it's March Madness, so I'll post some social media clips of March Madness, like some teams getting upset. And so I might post some stuff before the start of the tournament so that that way it gets out there. So as those teams then are playing, you kind of remember what they did last year, the year before, or maybe a major upset, you know, things like that. So that might be a strategic post, you know. Or during baseball season, perhaps like last year when Joe Mauer was announced that he was going into the Hall of Fame. So maybe then I took a video of him and his last at bat and I posted that. So again, there could be some strategic times and things that you post stuff. Maybe it's the weekend and you're out there on the lake. And so you're posting stuff because you're out there on the lake. Or you're traveling. And so you're posting things because you're traveling. So again, when you look at your social media addiction, you have to look and see what's your intent, what's your purpose, what's your plan. And I think the addiction really comes from just people sitting there scrolling. How many memes and videos and stuff have you seen of people with the post, you sat down or you got into bed at 10, 11, scroll through TikTok, and now it's 3, 4 in the morning and you're still doing it. First of all, there's not that much content that's of interest. And the addiction becomes what's next, what's next, what's next. What's the next feed? What's the next feed? What's the next thing? So you might not be interested in this particular video that you're watching, so you scroll to the next. You scroll to the next. You scroll to the next. And it's always the next thing. What's next? That becomes a huge addiction for a lot of people. What comes next? What comes next? Sometimes I'll get kind of wrapped up in that. What's next? Is the next thing going to be interesting? Kind of like the slot machine. Am I going to win next? I pull the arm. I guess you don't pull the arm anymore. You got to press the button because everything's now digital. But you pull that arm looking for 777, and you get 77, not 7, but 7's kind of appeared in the line a little bit, but you don't win, and so you pull it again. Now, granted, the social media, you're not going to probably come out with a jackpot unless you put the right post down, or maybe some of you do because you're making a lot of money on there. And the interesting thing, too, that has changed with the music rights going away, some of these creative people, they found one thing and struck it rich, and since then, they haven't been able to emulate that because their one thing is gone, which is going to be something that we're going to be talking about, creativity. But so, what is considered to be social media addiction? Well, social media addiction is defined as compulsive and excessive use of social media, such as Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, etc. Even when you use those platforms, if it's overtaking your life and having a negative effect on your real life and relationships, if it's affecting your life impeding relationships, impeding work life, then yeah, you might have a, and it could be all of them together. Maybe go from Facebook to Instagram to TikTok to Snapchat and do the cycle over and over and over again. It doesn't have to be just one. Social media can cause, and this comes from research from the Omega Institute. You can look them up online. Social media can cause similar dopamine release to the brain, mimicking the same euphoric experience that cocaine addicts chase. Likes, comments, retweets, and shares from social media platform have been shown in studies to be nearly as addictive as cocaine or cocaine rush. And again, this is the type of stuff you don't really see in the mainstream because it's not headlines. But if you get into publications that are, you know, kind of scientific publications or psychology, counseling publications, or do research in alternate non-news, you start to see that the effects on young people become more and more dangerous as social media develops. Because the people that are developing the algorithms and stuff are grabbing you in more and more. And of course, for them, it's all about money. You think it's benefiting you, but it's benefiting the advertiser. Billions upon billions upon gazillions of dollars being made at your expense. And that's why they keep changing things to kind of hook you in. In fact, just the other day, I saw a video of somebody who apparently is extremely popular on social media. And she posts something like only 1% of her followers are seeing her feed. And they're saying things like, you know, where have you been? Are you still on here? You know, messaging her. And she's like, yeah, I'm still here doing what I've been doing all along. But the algorithm has changed. Now people got to try new things. Then you have to ask yourself, was it intentional that the music rights went south and there's no more music on there? Because after a while, maybe those companies don't see the profits they once saw. And so now they have to alter the algorithms and things to keep people from making too much money, because the love of money is the root of all evil. There is a film out there, a Netflix documentary. And if you have any interest in checking out more of some of the stuff that we're talking about, this is actually a really good documentary. It's not the end all to end all, but basically what it is, you have interviews with a bunch of people that were at the forefront of developing the software. Tristan Harris, for example, with Facebook and others. You had, I think there's a guy from Pinterest and maybe some other entities out there, maybe Twitter and some other places. And there's also then psychologists and counselors and people like that. And they go through the gamut of what this social media thing is like and how it affects people. And the interesting thing is that the people that developed social media are the ones that are now not using it. And in fact, they don't even let their kids use it. And a lot of them don't let their kids even have a smartphone because of the negative effects and the destructive effects that they say is on it. In fact, there's one guy, I forget his name offhand, but he says that put your phone away, get off of social media for a week and just see how much happier you are. How much better life is. Less anxiety, less stress. I remember one time I used to listen to a talk show, radio talk show. I'd be driving home the afternoon, 5 o'clock. And by the time I got home, I was amped up. I couldn't figure out why I was amped up. And it wasn't the traffic. What it was these guys on the radio were so negative and yelling and screaming about everything wrong, the ills of the world, that it would get me all amped up. So then what I decided to do was just turn on some music, because I used to listen to a lot of talk radio. Now I listen to music because talk radio isn't what it was, but just gets you amped up. Twitter gets you amped up. A lot of lies and stuff being put out there. So if you get off social media, this guy was saying that life would be a whole lot better. But it goes into a lot of different aspects. And I've seen it a couple times, and every time I watch it, I pick up something new that was said, because there is a lot of information out there. But again, it's The Social Dilemma on Netflix. And again, if you want more information, it's a resource that you could probably pick up a few things on. But depression and anxiety from social media was discussed. And depression and anxiety has increased dramatically over the years, especially in teens and preteens, since the advent of social media.
There has been a gigantic increase in depression and anxiety for American teenagers, which began right around between 2011 and 2013. The number of teenage girls out of 100,000 in this country who are admitted to a hospital every year because they cut themselves or otherwise harm themselves, that number was pretty stable until around 2010, 2011, and then it begins going way up. It's up 62% for older teen girls. It's up 189% for the preteen girls. That's nearly triple. Even more horrifying, we see the same pattern with suicide. The older teen girls, 15 to 19 years old, they're up 70% compared to the first decade of the century. The preteen girls, who have very low rates to begin with, they are up 151%. And that pattern points to social media. Gen Z, the kids born after 1996 or so, those kids are the first generation in history that got on social media in middle school. How do they spend their time? They come home from school and they're on their devices. A whole generation is more anxious, more fragile, more depressed. They're much less comfortable taking risks. The rates at which they get driver's licenses have been dropping. The number who have ever gone out on a date or had any kind of romantic interaction is dropping rapidly. This is a real change in a generation. And remember, for every one of these, for every hospital admission, there's a family that is traumatized and horrified. My God, what is happening to our kids?
And see, that's the sad thing. The sad thing is that it's happening to the kids. And people just don't care because they think social media is innocent. It's fascinating that people will look to guns as, we need to get rid of guns because guns affect and kill young people. But yet, something like social media, they don't think twice about the destruction that it's causing. Or they don't think about the fentanyl that's running amok across this country, or the invasion at the southern border that's affecting young people, or the fact that abortion and transgender ideology has a negative effect on young people. They promote all that as good, but then guns are bad. But then social media, look what they just said right there. Studies have shown, again, going back 2011, 2013, out of 100,000 girls, 62% of teens are engaging in self-harm. 189% preteens are engaging in self-harm. When you take a look at the suicide rates in teen girls, up 70%, in preteen, 151%. Self-harm and suicide rates increasing. And people don't even think about it. It's become so mainstream that media doesn't even talk about it. Cyberbullying that goes on. And the revenge aspect of social media. There was another documentary that I saw one time. I was actually able to interview the producer, director of it. But it took the lives of three people. One girl that was kind of just normal. One guy that was like an extreme adventurer, tagger. I guess he was a tagger in New York City. And then one girl that was highly popular. So the highly popular girl had beauty pageants and things like that that she was involved with. And apparently her experience was really good. The guy that was the tagger extreme, he would take extreme pictures and he would go to places in New York like abandoned buildings, sky rises, places like that. And he would push the envelope to try to get a better picture, a more kind of dangerous picture. And then the other girl, because kind of just the more normal one, she became a victim of cyberbullying based on lies, because she was dating somebody that somebody else liked, and so that somebody else started spreading rumors about her. The next thing you know, she's a whore, sleeping around, all this stuff. Almost to the point where she committed suicide, failed, and then had to move away from that town. And so the stories like that go on and on. How many times have you heard so-and-so? And on the news, you hear it all the time. Someone trying to take a selfie falls to their death at the Grand Canyon or Yosemite or some other place because they crossed over the barrier for the more extreme picture that they're looking for. They're not content with just this. The push for that picture to get those likes and stuff like that pushes them to their death. I mean, think about how many people over the course of social media, and we don't have a number, but think of how many people have lost their lives because of social media, whether it be by suicide or because they did something stupid. And by suicide, I mean they actually took their lives. It wasn't a challenge that they did that ended in the result of them losing their life. But it's just unbelievable, anxious, fragile, depressed. Three words that just should shoot out at you. Is your child anxious, depressed? Maybe it's social media. We're quick to just kind of give kids drugs, ADHD and all this other stuff. So let's just fill them full of drugs. That'll fix the problem. Really? Remember one time talking to some elementary school kids. It was a Friday afternoon. We were on the playground running around. And, hey, what are you guys doing this weekend? I'm going home and play my video games. I'm going online. And then Monday they come back. Hey, what'd you do? I was online all weekend. Never went outside. Never did anything fun. Never did anything creative. Just on their video games all weekend long. And that's problematic. Screen time is problematic. Growing up, we had, you know, whatever the Xbox version was back then, you know, our video game systems. And so we'd get together and we would spend the night at somebody's house. We played video games, but most of the time we were outside. Maybe somebody had a pool, so we'd be swimming. And then when it's time to go in and settle down for the night, that's when we'd jump on the video games. Or we'd go outside and play kind of those games like Capture the Flag, stuff like that. You know, we found things to do outside, even when we had the video games. But nowadays, people go from their phone or maybe their computer to a laptop to a phone. You're walking through the store and you see these toddlers with their device in their faces because they can't entertain themselves without something in their face. Now, technology can be used for good, but again, the educator in me is looking at it and like, this is all bad. There is no way that this is going to help develop these students. They can't write. Their proficient is below 50%, their proficiency in math, reading, and now science at grade level across the country is below 50%. People aren't being educated. iPads are being rewards for behavior issues in schools all across the country. What do you want to do for your reward? iPad. Everybody wants an iPad. Again, technology can be good for education, but now it's just used all the time. And in some cases, it is given as a babysitter. And again, you got more and more anxiety type things coming out of social media.
The number one problem, the number one psychiatric disorder among teenagers is anxiety. Typically, it's anxiety about needing to check in with social media.
There's another study that looked at fear of missing out, and it looked at kids who have high anxiety around missing out. Even though social media makes them more anxious, makes them more worried about missing out, they can't stop looking at it. That prefrontal cortex hasn't developed enough for them to be able to put it down, to say to themselves, it's not making me feel good.
The prefrontal cortex, this area of the brain that is involved in our cognitive control, our ability to process and direct our attention based on our goals, is the last part of our brain to develop.
this doesn't get completely myelinated until you're in your mid to late 20s.
So kids are getting these tools right when they have the least capability of actually controlling their behavior.
I think we can confidently say that it's changing the way that teens interact with each other, with peers, with the world, and that those changes in interactions lead to sort of changes in behaviors, changes in psychiatric and sort of mental health.
We should not be surprised. And it's not just because the culture changed. It's because their brains have changed.
They also get trained in instant gratification by these devices. And there's something very dangerous about that, because in real life, we don't get everything that we want instantly.
They are bombarding our teenagers and our young adults with so much that they become addicted to the continuous input of stimulus and information.
We know that there are many activities that are critical for our development. Face-to-face communication, physical activities, exposure to nature, and sleep. I would say that all of these are being threatened in some way by increasing access to information technology.
I think parents are in a really tough situation right now. I think because this tech has negative effects, they have to balance between trying to protect their kids, but also, let's face it, there's tremendous social pressure to use technology. And it's also incredibly important that children are technically literate. And I think there need to be more resources that help them make those decisions. And frankly, that, you know, the companies need to be partially responsible, largely responsible, for ensuring that the use of these products is responsible.
So you talk about the fear of missing out, anxiety. And see, here it goes back to development. The prefrontal cortex isn't developed. And so young people can't make these determinations, discern between how much is too much and what's not enough. And then their brain starts to get rewired. And so they don't have the ability to control behavior. And they talk about instant gratification and the addiction to social media that comes from that, and how instant gratification can be very harmful because that's not what it's like in the real world. They lose face-to-face ability to communicate and just to deal with people. Physical activity, I mean, obesity in America is a huge problem. But kids don't go outside and ride bikes. They don't play. They're on their video games. Lack of sleep. That's for everybody. Again, go back to those memes or videos where people get into bed and they just want to scroll social media for a couple minutes, and next thing you know, it's 3 a.m. and they're still on it. So it's very dangerous. So when it comes to all this, what should be the solution for TikTok? Banning it? Well, probably not the best of ideas, but what if we have age restrictions? Now, we can't have that. We can't age restrict social media. Well, let's see. Drinking, you have to be 21. I think smoking now, to buy cigarettes, you have to be 21. Although, I don't know, do people smoke anymore? Go to bars and clubs, you have to be 21. To buy a handgun, to get a credit card, you have to be 21. With some credit cards, it could be 18, but again, there's still age restrictions on that. If you want to rent a car, you have to be 25. Maybe 21 if you meet certain criteria, like a co-signer and stuff. How about voting? 18. Tattoos. You have to be 18 to get a tattoo. Under 18, you have to have parental consent, but most people from the tattoo artists that I've talked to, they say that most prominent tattoo artists won't tattoo anyone under 18, even with parental consent. It's just too much of a gray area. Age of emancipation, meaning you're going to declare yourself as an independent person from your parents, is 18. Some states, 14, 15, but again, age restriction. Driving, 16. Child labor laws, 16, 18, some states. Some websites, you can't even get on it without age verification. And so there are a lot of things in life that are age restricted. Why not social media? And it's up to the companies to figure out how to do that. People say, oh, you just change your birth date and stuff, right? But there's ways. I mean, there's ways to keep people from getting on it. And maybe that's how you spend your gazillions of dollars researching how you keep people underage off of social media. And most importantly, it'd be up to the parents, the adults, to make sure that, hey, you know, we were supposed to, we spent all this, a lifetime of society keeping the boogeyman out of the bedroom. Don't talk to strangers, stranger danger. Don't get in cars with people. If someone offers you candy, say no. I lost my puppy, say no. And now we just give them a phone and we allow anybody in the world to come into their bedroom at night. Why? Why don't we take precautions to protect our kids or young people from the stranger danger that's out there, or from just the ills of the mental health issues like depression, anxiety, fear of missing out, and the other things that go along with it? Reduce the fact that suicide and self-harm with young people has been on the rise for the last 10 years. Just doesn't get reported because it's not news anymore, because it's so mainstream now. But we do see deaths being reported from people that want to take a picture and it ended up costing their lives. So if you want to have a better life, maybe get off social media. It reduces stress and anxiety. That's one of the benefits. Removing it from your life can help reduce the negative emotions. You're no longer constantly exposed to materials that's going to get you excited in life. You're not going to miss out. You're not going to worry about the content that's being presented to you. A lot of times it's false. You're going to have an increase in productivity without the constant distraction of social media, the notifications, the browsing, and so on. You might find yourself more focused and able to accomplish tasks more efficiently. This can lead to increased productivity in both your personal life and your professional life. Ever want to lose weight, get fit, maybe do away with social media? Provides more time for you to exercise. If you do away with social media or less social media, you might find yourself having more meaningful connections with people. Prioritize that face-to-face communication that they talked about in that clip on The Social Dilemma. Having to improve personal or interpersonal skills. Family. Again, social media can be good to connect with family, especially since people living all over the world these days. But again, face-to-face. And also, you can have a deeper relationship when you're dealing with people face-to-face as opposed to social media. And that's the other thing. People can't communicate face-to-face. And you see that all the time with those social justice warriors, those keyboard warriors. They would never say half the stuff to you to your face. But they'll pound away on those keyboards. What about better sleep? Science has proven that the blue light emitting from the screen can interfere with sleep patterns. That's why a lot of those people don't have their smartphones in their rooms, like the Tristan Harris's and those people that develop social media, and don't allow their kids to have it either. But you can get better sleep. You're not doing that late night scrolling. You have more time for hobbies and personal development. You want to learn to play the guitar or a musical instrument or paint or do something, but you're too busy doing social media. Or maybe you just want to have personal development. Pursue a hobby, maybe an interest. Enhance privacy. That's the one thing that I don't really understand, why people want to become so, so famous, because you lose your anonymity. You can't go out without people bombarding you. I like my privacy. And maybe you don't delete social media altogether, but maybe you scale back so that you have a little bit more privacy. You're not being influenced by advertising. You're not getting your big tumbler jug off of the TikTok store. That's costing you a lot of money. You know, the whole TikTok shop made me buy this. This is another big trend. Really? Do you really need it? But social media platforms are inundated with advertisements, which can influence your decision-making process. Because again, they're the ones making the gazillions of dollars, not you. Or what about just less comparison with other people? You should never compare yourself with other people. You are you. Live your lifestyle. Live who you are. Don't try to compare yourself with other people. Don't try to live up to the expectations of social media because it's false. Think about all the pictures that are filtered. And I guess back in the day, they used to call it airbrushing, but it's like the filters and stuff that make someone look way better than what they are in real life. So don't compare yourself. Don't look at that person and be, man, I wish I was them. Because chances are on the other end of that popularity on social media is someone that's probably dealing with a lot of issues. Not saying everyone's that way, but there's probably a lot of people that are looking at themselves, even though they're popular on social media, they probably have things about them that they don't like because they're not getting a true perspective of who they are in the mirror. They're trying to live up to an expectation. And that might not be always the case, but again. And finally, you're free from addiction. You're not sitting there being addicted to screen time. Addicted to feeling left out, you're not having anxiety and stress, and life could be so much better. Try it. If you want a challenge, if you're into these challenges on social media, why don't you try taking a week off from social media? Don't go on it. Probably won't miss anything, and your life will probably be a whole lot better. Because without social media, you have reduced stress and anxiety. You'll probably have an increase in productivity. You'll start to have more meaningful connections. Improved mental health, better sleep, more time for your hobbies and your own personal development, enhanced privacy. You'll be less influenced by advertisers, comparing yourself less to other people and being more true to yourself, and then freedom from addiction and being online all the time. And if social media is not your thing, but just screen time is. Maybe go from your computer to a laptop, you know, like a, okay, so maybe desktop, laptop, to maybe an iPad, to maybe your phone. Maybe you say, oh, I'd like to do something, but I don't have the time. Well, maybe this is one area that you look at and say, oh, yeah, I can find more time by doing less social media, being on TikTok less. So the benefits of banning TikTok, if you wanted to say that, but to me, I would go with an age restriction, keeping it out of the hands of youth, but you're protecting minors. You're protecting them from being exposed to inappropriate content and online predators. You know, sex trafficking is still huge. TikTok is a platform that can expose young people to the possibilities of being trafficked. How many times do we see someone or hear a story about someone that is a young gal that runs off to meet somebody that they met on social media and it turns out to be someone that's not very good. They're brainwashed with ideologies that hurt themselves. These trends that we talked about. To do these trends has led to life-altering decisions. They're not the same anymore. And that's what you got to do. What about the anxiety, the depression, the fear of missing out, suicide, self-harm, cyberbullying? All these things are every day someone is dealing with it. And it's more than just one person. But it's so much so that people have stopped talking about it in the mainstream. But again, you go and look up what, you know, psychologists, sociologists, scientific research on the brain, the frontal cortex, stuff like that, you'll start to see that it has a tremendous amount of negative impact on young people. And if you truly want to help young people, try to navigate this world as tough enough as it is, because they're being inundated with abortions okay, they're being inundated with gender mutilation surgeries okay. You've got experts saying that they can't even handle dealing with social media because the development of their frontal cortex isn't there. And it's not there until you're like 26. Fentanyl or these other challenges, Tide Pod, Benadryl, other poisons that they're putting in their body. Sex trafficking. You know, it's all out there. And people can easily manipulate young people into doing things. And so if you really want to protect young people, maybe social media, maybe smartphones, maybe screen time is a way to start and to limit it and to keep it out of the bedroom and know exactly what your kid is doing, because you're the adult. They're the kid. You tell them what's up. And if they don't like it, take the phone away. Cancel their social media. If you don't have access to their social media, if you don't know what strangers or who the strangers are that they're talking to, oh, my kid wants his privacy. Who cares? Their life is more important than their privacy. And it's time for adults first to step up, and then perhaps maybe government regulation. I guess it's yet to be determined. And a lot of experts are saying it's probably nothing's going to happen because politicians will get bought out. But I guess time will tell. This is Two Steps Ahead Podcast, encouraging you to take your passion, make it happen, let yourself be great. I'm Son Edom. You can check out our website. It's RadioWarp.com, Radio, W-A-R-P, RadioWarp.com. You can click on the Two Steps Ahead Podcast logo. Our shows will pop up, video, and then the orange banner across the center of the page is our SoundCloud, which takes you to the audio page. You can download them, take them with you on the go. We're on Rumble, YouTube, basically anywhere you listen to podcasts. Just do an internet search of TWO, Two Steps Ahead Podcast, and we pop up. Also on our website, RadioWarp.com, you can click the Listen Live button and listen to music, streaming 24/7, podcasts, and other things going on there. So if you want alternative form of entertainment that maybe you're tired of listening to the same old stuff, maybe give it a try. RadioWarp.com, click the Listen Live button. There's also a merchandise, a swag shop, if you want to buy some cool merchandise. It's there. Help out the show. And then, again, anywhere you listen to podcasts, our email is TWO, twostepsaheadpodcast@gmail.com, twostepsaheadpodcast@gmail.com. Reach out if you need something, if you just want to communicate, if you need help, whatever it is, don't feel like you're alone. Don't feel like you're the only person in the world going through this. Whatever it is, reach out, and I will do my best to help you out. If I can't, I will find somebody that will be able to help you, and you don't have to do it alone. But whatever you do, make sure you do it for yourself. Make sure you do it for the good of yourself. If you're an adult and you feel confident with your social media use, fine. But don't compare yourself to other people. Don't feel that anxiety and stress, because after all, it's just a bunch of strangers out there. And do you really care what strangers have to say? Now, there's some people that I have met on social media, and we've kind of become social media friends. And I'm learning about their lives. They live, you know, over in Europe or maybe other places in South America. And so it's been exciting that way, where I'm kind of connecting with people, you know, Scotland, and you start to learn about lifestyles and what they go through and their politics and their social structures and their, you know, whatever they do. And that's exciting. That's fun. And so, yeah, they become kind of friends. But the other people, and so maybe you value their opinions, but, you know, the other people, just the strangers that come and go, does it really matter what they say? I guess that's for you to decide. Again, Two Steps Ahead Podcast. I'm Son Edom. Hey, thanks for listening. Do tell a friend. And until next time, God bless.